Welcome to Confessions from a Dental Lab. This show is all about bringing you into the lab, beneath the surface, so you can see things, hear things, and understand things right from the source. Learn from longtime ceramists, dentists, and lab techs, both young and old. Without further ado, let's begin.
Dr. Asaro, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we're very thankful to have you on the show. My name is KJ Eichstead. This is Confessions from a Dental Lab, where we like to interview dentists, dental technicians, and together we can bring you straight to the source and we can all get a little bit better by listening to these episodes. We've got Dr. Matthew Asaro joining the show today. Dr. Asaro, where are you calling from?
I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Sunny Los Angeles, right where all the action is, especially for cosmetic smiles, I'm sure. First question, Dr. Asaro, could you introduce yourself, like who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so professionally, I am a general dentist, but I have an emphasis on comprehensive care, aesthetics, and full mouth rehabilitations. So I have like a boutique, high-end, pretty small dental practice, right in like the heart of Los Angeles, right near Beverly Hills.
Yeah, that's it's fascinating. Actually, a couple follow up questions, but just to stay on topic, how long have you been practicing dentistry, and can you tell us a little about your dental journey? Like you mentioned Beverly Hills, I imagine that's definitely something where you probably dreamt of that, or maybe had a vision of something like that one day. Could you kind of talk about your dental journey and kind of how that all came to fruition?
Yeah, sure. So it kind of started for me when I was in dental school. I was friends with Larry Rosenthal's son. So I don't know if you know who Larry Rosenthal is.
It's definitely ringing a bell.
He is he's widely known as like one of the pioneers who was kind of first doing porcelain veneers. He's also the mentor of Dr. Appa. So I'm sure you know Dr. Appa, but Dr. Rosenthal, or Larry, was his mentor and was his boss before Dr. Appa took over. And so I was friends with Larry's son, and this was when I was like, you know, my second year of dental school. And just through Eric, I basically met Larry, and then I would go to their office and shadow and kind of learn more about what they were doing. And for me at the time, I was a dental student. I didn't know exactly which specialty within dentistry I was most interested in pursuing, but I was trying to keep an open mind and figure out like what was going to be the best for me and what was going to suit my personality and suit you know, what interested me the most and what I thought would ultimately I would enjoy the most doing in my career. So from seeing them, honestly, I was very inspired, and it really made me excited about dentistry. So I think excitement is the most important thing for people to go after in their life, because I think excitement is the closest synonym to happiness. So excitement for me was people coming in because they want to come in, right? People coming in because they want you to help them change the way they look, because you want to enhance someone's life, not because someone's dreading coming in, only coming to me because, you know, I take their insurance and because they feel like they have to come in and they're dreading getting their tooth drilled. They're dreading the pain. They're dreading the experience. To me, that wasn't, that latter wasn't attractive to me. And then the former was very attractive to me. It seemed very fun and exciting and something that suited my personality. And before I was considering dentistry, I was pre-med, basically. I was, back when I was an undergrad, I was like a pre-med, and I had aspirations of becoming a plastic surgeon because I kind of just always wanted to work with my hands in healthcare. So I knew I wanted to do something in healthcare. I wanted to just be involved with helping people. And so I originally thought I wanted to be a plastic surgeon, and then ultimately pivoted to dentistry. And then when I was in dental school, discovered aesthetic dentistry. And that's like I said, that was through kind of my relationship with Eric Rosenthal, and then meeting his dad and Dr. Appa. And then from there, kind of really just mentally knowing what I wanted to do and pursuing the aesthetics honors program at NYU in my fourth year, which allowed me to basically do veneer cases in dental school. So I did 3 full mouth veneer cases when I was a fourth year dental student throughout the year, which for a dental student to do a 20 unit case is pretty, I'd say, rare. And for to do 3 of them before you even graduate was, I would say, even more rare. So I was really grateful that I was exposed to this niche part of dentistry very early on. And I have to tell you the truth, I was hooked. I loved it. I knew that's what I wanted to pursue. And so I just dove into it head first, and I learned as much as I could. I read as many books as I could, and I did as many courses as I could. And I'm still to this day kind of like a little bit of a CE junkie, in that I love taking courses and I love expanding my skill set and trying to be the best I can for my patients. And so, yeah, that's kind of what brought me to where I'm at now.
That is just so amazing. I there's a couple things you said that really made me like just perk up. I mean, one of them, when you said excitement is almost like one of the closest things to happiness. Like, man, I think you hit it on the head right there. Another thing is talking about your mentor and stuff like that. You know, it really is just another one of these examples of how one person can change everything. And that's why it's so exciting, I think, for us to have these conversations and almost capture these stories, because your story, very much like, you know, Dr. Appa and Rosenthal, like you mentioned, you know, your story might inspire someone else. And wow, it's just always interesting hearing how people how they all wound up where they are. And you kind of touched on it in terms of like an X factor that separates you from other dentists. You talk about, you know, you learned various things about the porcelain side of veneers and specializing in those, and cosmetic dentistry and the veneer cases, the full veneer cases in dental school. But is there anything maybe you'd like to add in terms of like what's one X factor that separates you from other dentists? You can take it any direction you'd like. I know you touched on it, but is there anything else you'd like to add that we may have forgotten?
So X factor, that's funny. That brings me back to like undergrad days. X factor. So it's a good question. I think I'd have to say just personality.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you're the only person that could be you. Right. And so I know that I'm not for everyone. My personality, I'm very honest with people. I tell people straight up how it is. And I think sometimes I can come off a little abrasive to people, and I'm aware of that. And I'm something that, you know, I'm constantly working on myself and trying to improve to become the best version of me. But me as a clinician and as a provider, I tell people the truth, which is, you know, anything that I do for you is eventually going to fail. And it's true about any dentist anywhere doing anything for anyone. Nothing in dentistry lasts forever. And people are like so shocked when I tell them, yeah, like you just got a root canal, but you know, eventually you're going to need an implant. Like people mm-hmm. just aren't told that. And so I'd say, I don't know if it's an X factor, but I just like to be real with people, and I like yeah. to keep it. I like to be honest, and I want them to know exactly what they're getting into before they do it. And I want to provide the highest quality care that I can. And so I think just me as a person, my personality, the way that I am very personalized with my treatment, and the way that I, you know, communicate. Like, I give them my cell phone number. Anyone who does a treatment with me, I give them my cell phone number, and I'm there for them. And I live right down the street from my office, so I'm available at all times. So I never want people to ever feel like, you know, oh, he's unavailable, or he can't see me, but I need him. Like, I'm the type of provider that I really try to make myself always available and just really be there for my patients, because when they select me to do this type of treatment, it really is a great honor, and it's something that, you know, I'm grateful for their trust, and I wanna honor that by giving them my all.
It's amazing, Dr. Saro. One of the recent guests we had on, he said, caring is one of the best marketing strategies out there. And you basically just exemplified that through your answer. And I could hear it. I could feel it in your words. And I think we can almost relate to exactly what you're saying about just like giving it to someone straight, being real, right? There's so much fluff nowadays. When someone is real, it cuts through the fluff like a knife. And it really resonates with people. And I think, you know, being a dental lab in the Midwest, that's kind of like in our culture as well. I think that's one of the reasons people like us, is our case managers, our staff, whatever it might be, just giving people straight up answers, you know, giving it to them the real way. And that, I think that just saves everybody time. It saves them a lot of energy, and it helps you get to the desired solution faster. I guess expanding off maybe some of your answers, I know we got about 10 minutes left, but what's one thing your patients have taught you over the years?
Yeah, no, it's, I totally agree with what you said about caring. I think that is kind of what I was alluding to, is that you really have to care and really want to do the best by people. And I think people can feel that, you know, when you are honest with them and you're genuinely looking to help them instead of make money from them, I think that goes a long way. What have I learned from my patients? This is a really important thing that I've learned from my patients, is to never make promises that just aren't possible for you to guarantee. So, mm-hmm. For instance, when I was early on in my career, you know, you're hungry to get cases, you want patients, and you sometimes may gloss over the risks involved with a particular treatment. And, you know, we're all taught, and we're all having our patients sign informed consent documents, right? But that's one thing. For someone to scan and skim over a document that they barely even read and initial it is one thing. But when you sit down and you look them in the eye and you tell them, look, you and I can do everything perfect. I can do everything absolutely perfect from a clinical standpoint. You can do everything perfect from a patient instruction standpoint. And this, and this can still happen. And if this, and this still happens, this is how much it's going to cost to fix it. And I'm not saying this to scare you, but I like to be honest with my patients, and I don't want there to be surprises. So that is one thing I've learned from practicing. I've been practicing since 2017. So, that is one thing that I've learned from when I first started to now, is make sure that I have this conversation with people about what can go wrong, make sure that they understand these are the risks, and make sure that, you know, there's no surprises.
You know, it's so interesting, Dr. Saro, because I imagine it's probably until you have that conversation so many times where it becomes like a muscle, I imagine that's a little bit of a scary conversation to have for fear of maybe missing out on the treatment or the case. Like you said, how do you do that in an effective way, right? Because it's absolutely the right thing to do is have those conversations prematurely. How do you make it so you can talk about those risks while also converting at the same time? I'm sure a lot of dentists would be fascinated to hear any advice on that.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself telling people not to do it sometimes because if I don't feel like they're 100% like the type of person that I want to be treating, then I'll tell them like, I think you need to think this over more. I'm not sure you're ready for this commitment because it is a commitment. There's quite a few appointments to do this type of dentistry at a high level. They have to come in several times, and they, in order for my office to function properly on all cylinders, they need to come in on time on the day that they're scheduled. And in LA especially, people are so busy. People are all over the place. People are traveling, and they have this and this. And so scheduling conflicts creates office conflicts. And so if someone shows apprehension or a little bit of, uneasiness that I can sense about the procedure, I'll of course talk to them and just really make sure that they are someone that I feel comfortable treating. And there's definitely been times like in the recent past where I've seen someone and been, kind of like almost telling them, I don't think that you are ready for this. So I think you need to think this over more. And I really only want you to do this when you're 1,000% sure that this is something you want to do because it's a commitment. It's a commitment not just with time, not just financial, but emotional as well.
It's so fascinating. Slight parallel, but you're just making me think of when people buy homes, and you'll talk to like a realtor, you'll talk to a lender, and they try and get some of that like verbal commitment before they get too deep in the process, saying like, hey, this is a big commitment, this is a big purchase, there are going to be multiple times where we get together, there's going to be paperwork, and just getting that like verbal commitment or that mental commitment makes the rest of the process super smooth. And so I think that's very wise business. Excuse me. I think it's very wise business. We got a few minutes left, Dr. Asaro. How about this? How important is it to work with a good dental lab, and why is that so important for dentists?
Oh, I mean, it's one of the most important things. The patients don't necessarily understand the lab side. The patients barely understand the dental side. So it's important that the dentist, in order to do truly exceptional work, you need an exceptional technician. And so it's one of the most important things regarding this treatment. The communication aspect is one of the most important things. Doing multiple large restorative cases with a specific technician over many years is critical, in my opinion, because every dentist can probably attest to this, but the first time that you work with a new technician on a case, you're each kind of feeling out the other one's work style and communication preferences, and how are they verifying that they're copying the temps, right? Some ceramists do it differently than others, and some are using more analog articulation, and some are using more digital, and some are pressing, and some are milling, and so it's really important that dentists learn as much of the lab side as possible, so that they can really understand what exactly is the technician doing. And if you don't understand exactly what it is that they're doing, then how can you evaluate how well it's being done, right? It's like you have to be very, very connected with the technician and make sure that you're communicating as much information as possible to give them the ability to give your patient the best result.
Yeah, very well said. A word we've heard a few times is extension. It's almost like a good lab is an extension of a good dentist, and vice versa. Thank you
Yeah.
for sharing that. I guess
100%.
we have time for maybe like one more question. So I'll say, I guess you could either I'll let you choose. So question A would be, what do you think the future of dentistry looks like 10 years from now? And question B would be, what advice would you give dentists to maximize success in 2024 and beyond? You can take an A path or B path.
I think, to answer the first one, I think the future is probably going to be more and more consolidation into more of DSO style for the majority of America. I do think that the DSOs are not going anywhere and they're only growing, and now there's different types of DSOs and they're kind of specializing themselves into different niches within dentistry. There's orthodontic DSOs, there's implant, full implant, like clear choice or whatever it's called, DSOs. Now there's almost like this new sort of kind of like fee for service, higher end type DSO model. And there's, you know, the Heartlands and the PDSs. So I think the consolidation is only natural. I think that will continue to happen and to grow more throughout the majority of dental offices. Also because these DSOs are offering these retiring docs like just like a crazy amount of money that it's like hard to say no for them. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that will continue to happen. Now, I also think that the market that I'm in, where it's more of personalized, higher end service, I think that the docs like me who are really focused on really high quality care, seeing less people, will always have a place in the market, in my opinion. So I think that it will still continue to diverge between the high end personalized care and then the DSO world. I think will continue to grow just for the part of the market that kind of satisfies.
I can totally see that happening. I wish we had more time, Dr. Asaro. We'll probably have to get you on here again sometime, maybe in the future, to expand on some of these great conversation topics. Do you have any final thoughts for the listeners? Or you got to run? Or
yeah, man, I just want to say thanks for having me. I thought you're really easy to talk to. You're doing, I think, a great job. You're asking a lot of really good questions, and I'm honored that you reached out to me to ask me to come on here, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, likewise, Dr. Asaro. We'll chat more, but I just want to thank Dr. Asaro for joining the show. My name is KJ Eichstead. This is Confessions from a Dental Lab. Easiest way to help the show is just text this to one other friend. It's a way we can all get a little bit better and continue changing the world one smile at a time. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. If you'd like to contact the show, simply send us an email at dentallabpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us at life@newartdental on Instagram. Thank you for listening once again. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. Make sure to subscribe and tell a friend. And until next time, we're out.